You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
God is good. And so if you get in your Bibles, Matthew 6 verse 27, Matthew 6 verse 27. And so we are in a series at the moment called No Worries. And I made some statements last week that I want to reaffirm these statements. And some of these statements was that we can live a worried-free life. How many know we can live a worried-free life? Amen. What we need to do is, we spoke about it last week, we need to live day to day. How many know that? We need to just, you know what, whatever I've got to tackle today, do it today, let tomorrow worry about itself. And so, because worry doesn't change anything. Yes. How many know that? Worrying about something won't change it. What inspired me, I mentioned it last week, what inspired me about this series is, a few years ago I read a book and it spoke about worry, and it's full of different stories. And one of the stories in the book is about a guy, and he started to really worry about his future and what would happen and what could happen, and started to think about all the different things that were going on in his life. And he started to become very, very sick, and he goes to the hospital, and he's losing strength, he's getting weak. And what they found out is that he had some sort of stomach ulcers. But this is, you know, this is a chronic stomach ulcer. They kept him in the hospital, and he was getting so sick, his health was deteriorating so bad that he could barely move his arm. He was so weak, he's lying in the hospital. And so eventually what they had to do is, they every day they'd have to pump out his stomach, the acid. They'd have to put a tube down his stomach and pump out his stomach, because so much stomach acid would be in there. Every day they had to do this. All that they could actually give him was this kind of like powder, this powder and milk and cream. That's all he was living on. And so he's lying in the hospital, sick with all of these stomach ulcers, and he's weak. And the doctor really is saying, this is all we can do for you. We're just going to every day pump out your stomach, give you this little thing. And, you know, this is really your existence now. We can't do any more. And so he's going to live this life. And he realized that, you know what? He always wanted to travel the world. He always had this ambition. I want to travel the world. I want to see different places. And so he said to, he looked at the doctor and he's like, you know, you guys can't really make me any better. You can't do anything for me, and I'm probably not going to get better. Just slowly suffer here and die eventually. And he said, well, you know what? If I've always wanted to travel the world, let me just go and travel the world. And so he booked himself a cruise, and he told the doctor, listen, I'm going on a cruise. I'm going to go around and I'm going to visit all these other countries. And the doctor said, listen, if you do that, you're going to die at sea. You're going to be buried at sea. And he says, no, I won't. Because what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take my coffin with me. That's what he did. And he spoke to the captain. He said, listen, if I die at sea, can you put my body in the coffin and then put it in the freezer? And then when you come back to America, you can give my body to my family and I'll be buried in my family plot. And the captain said, yeah. So he said to the doctor, listen, worst comes to worst, I die at sea. And then what's going to happen to me? They'll bring me back. And so he goes on the cruise. And while he's on the cruise, he said, as soon as he got onto the boat, and after he'd been on the boat, he started to feel a bit better. And he starts to feel a bit better. And eventually, his health starts to improve. And he says, you know what? He just said, I'm not going to pump out my stomach anymore. And lo and behold, he didn't need his stomach pumped out anymore. And then he said, you know what? I'm not going to live on this powder and milk. I'm going to start eating some of the food. And he starts eating the food on the ship. And then he even starts eating some of the food as he's going to these different countries. And his the food is really spicy. But he starts to eat it. And it doesn't have no effect on him. He starts to say in the story that he's on the boat. And he's staying up late now. And what he's doing is meeting people and playing games and singing songs on this boat. And he says within the story, he says there were some times when the boat was going through like a typhoon. Or like a storm. And he said people were really scared. And he said he thought it was fun. He said, I wasn't scared at all. And he said, you know what happened? I went around that cruise and I came back home and I was totally well. And he said, I went back to my business and I'd work in my business. And he said, whenever he would go through a tough situation or his life would get stressful, he would think about the poor people he'd seen on his journey. How they were suffering for food and disease. And he was thinking, here I am living in America. Why am I getting so stressed? And he said, never again did he ever have any worries. I want to say to you today is that if you're going to live a life worry-free, you're going to have to come to a place where you can face your fears. You're going to have to come to a place where you face your fears, because I want to tell you that worry does not change a thing. Matthew 6 verse 27, we read this scripture last week. Which of you by worry can add one cubit to his stature? Jesus says, which of you by worrying could make yourself, let's just say, an inch taller? We understand this. The question is making us think. None of us. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move in this place. I pray, Heavenly Father, for a supernatural visitation. I pray, Father, that you would free the minds of men and women in this place. And we ask you this in Jesus' name. Of God's people said,
amen.
I want to minister a short message today, and I want to take some time just to pray for a few people at the end. Because I understand now, being a little bit older, and as I get older and longer in the ministry, that worry is a real thing in people's lives. I've entitled this sermon, obviously with the series, is No Worries, but this sermon is called Face Your Fears. See, what do we mean by facing your fears? This man looked at his life and he said, listen, what is the worst that can happen to me? He says, either I stay in this hospital and I'm going to die, or I can actually go on this cruise, do some of the things I've always wanted to do, and still die. And I want to say that we need to be able to ask ourselves this question, what is the worst that can happen to me? 2 Kings speaks about a story, verse 7 and 3. Now, let me give you a bit of background before I read the text. There's a famine in the land, and there's a war. The children of God are warring with another nation, and so there's a famine in the land, and so there's no food in the city. People are starving. I think they're being besieged, and everything is going on. And so the Bible kind of focuses in, it kind of moves away from the central theme of the king and all of that, and it homes in on these, you know, very unusual characters. The Bible says, now there were four leprous men. So the Bible, God focuses on these four lepers at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, we are sitting here until we die. Because basically they're going to starve to death. There's no food. There's a famine. If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city. And if we and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die. Also, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of Syria. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they will kill us, we shall only die. They looked at their circumstance. Here are these lepers. They're at the gate of the city. They probably beg and make money. And so the Syrians have put a siege around the city. That's why the city is, you know, there's no food, nothing there. And they say, look, if we stay here, we're going to die. How many that makes sense to people? They say, if we go into the city, we're going to die. If we go to Syria and say, listen, we surrender ourselves. He said, maybe they'll feed us. Worst case scenario, we're going to die. And so they figured out, they said, what's the worst that can happen to us? And let me fast forward. So we're going to revisit these dudes, but let me fast forward to verse 8. The Bible says, and when these lepers came into the outskirts of the camp, this is the camp of their enemies, they went in one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and they went and hid them, and they came back to the entrance of another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it. The Bible says that these men, as they go into, they say, let's just go into the camp, let's surrender. When they go, they find that the camp is empty. Everybody's gone. All these Syrians are gone. And here are these men, they go in there, there's food, just cooked. There's some stew there, some patties, some cocoa bread. There's some things going on, whatever you eat, fish and chips, whatever it is. There's some things going on there. There's some clothes in there. There's like, hey, that's a nice, what's that? Nice Armani suit there. There's everything going on. They just walk in and like, wow. And this is all for us. I want to say is that, what is the worst that can happen to you? Now, this is where we're going to get a little bit, it's going to get a little bit heavy right now. So don't worry, we're going to come back up for air. When we think of the worst that can happen to us, how many know the worst really thing that most of us think can happen to us is we die? That's really how we think about life. The worst that can, what do people say? You know, if they try to convince someone to do something, they say, listen, it's not going to kill you. That's how we think, isn't it? It's not going to kill you. So the worst thing that can really happen to us, the biggest fear that most of us all have is death. This is the one thing that we all fear. But can I say today, and again, remember, I've already warned you, this is going to get a bit deep, a bit heavy. We're all going to die anyway. We're all going to die anyway. I'm going to die. My wife's going to die. My parents are going to die. We're all going to die anyway. My sister's going to die. My family's going to die. That's the reality. And this is hard for us to deal with, because you know why it's hard for us to deal with, many of us? Is because we live in a Western democracy. I'm at the center of everything. We think that when we die, the world is over. You know how we think? We think the world is ours and everyone else is just in it. That's how we've been taught. Our vote counts. So I understand when I'm speaking to you, this challenges the very way that you think and the very way I think. The reality is we're all going to die anyway. Whether you die on a plane or a car, you're going to die. Whether you die at home or in a hospital, you're still going to die. Whether you die with others or you die alone, you're going to die. Some people are going to die in sickness. Some people are going to die. They were very healthy before they died. Some people are going to die rich. Some people are going to die poor. There's a saying that when you look at the chessboard, when the game is over, the pawn and the king go back into the same box. And that's how life is. The rich man who has billions is going to die. Steve Jobs died. Michael Jackson died. And on the day that Steve Jobs died and the day that Michael Jackson died, somebody very poor in a poor country somewhere that never had nothing died at the same time. And we think, oh, it's a tragedy that that person died. It's not a tragedy the other person died. People die all over the world every day. Let me push this a little bit more. Death is not the worst that can happen to you. Do you know that? Death is not the worst. And that's not my opinion. This is the words of Jesus. Matthew 10, verse 28. Listen to what Jesus says. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. This is what Jesus says. He says, do not fear man. You know, how many know Friday a great tragedy happened in Paris, and our prayers should be with, you know, the people who lost loved ones and the people that are in hospital wounded. It's just a wicked act. These people are wicked. I don't care what ideology, I don't business. You're wicked, you're nuts, you're satanic, and you're full of every demon of hell. But you know what the purpose of that is to have you in terror. That's why we call them a terrorist. It's to breed terror, that now people no longer want to live. You know, really and truly, do you know who's the next target? You know what city is on there? London. So what are you going to, leave London? Listen, you got to live your life. I got to live my life. People, oh, I think we should, you know, let's dig a hole, climb in it like little rabbits. No, I've got to live my life. I could go this way or that way. I don't know. But the Bible tells us, do not fear man that can kill your body, but cannot kill your soul. Listen, you can decapitate me, you can blow me up, you can shoot me, but you cannot take my soul. You cannot take my soul. Jesus tells us, he says, listen, do not fear, man. Do I want to die? No, I don't want to die. Of course I don't want to die. I'm not suggesting anybody climbs up on top of this building, drinks poison, and throws themselves off in front of a lorry. No, that would be ridiculous. But Jesus does say that. But let's go on. What does Jesus say? He said, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible tells us, listen, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you go to hell. Do you know that's the worst thing that can happen to any of us? Is that you go to hell? Jesus says this. He says, do not fear, man. How many know that's like one of... If we could just obey that, many of us would be free. Not fear man. Some of us, we fear man. We fear the boss. We fear our family. You fear someone on your ends. You fear your boyfriend. You fear your girlfriend. You fear... I don't know what... the Bible tells us, don't fear, man. Even as a pastor, I have to be like, listen, I'm not fearing nobody. You can pull faces when I'm preaching. You don't like that. I just don't... You know what I've learned now? I just look for people that are into it and I focus on them. I'm looking at Roger right now. Look, Roger's into it. Amen. I'm going to preach to Roger. Look over here, my wife is there, she's always... But listen, we got to be careful not to fear man. He says, fear God. The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You ever seen a baby born and is crying? Just crying. The Bible says that's how men will be in hell. Men will cry. Big men, strong, aggressive. That's how they're going to cry in hell, like babies, uncontrollably, weeping and gnash. Their teeth are gnashing together. He says it's going to be utter darkness and eternity. Imagine a darkness that not only is a lack of light, but a darkness is so dark you can feel it. That it robs you of hope and joy. And then it's for all eternity. That means it never ends. You know, whenever we have pain, if you've ever had pain, I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a toy shop in Streatham, and my mom took me up there, and I never forget that my fingers got caught in the door, in the hinge of the door. You know, and whenever I see kids and there's a door, I'd be like, no, keep me away. It's still stuck in my psyche, man. But that pain, it's like whenever you see, I've seen kids do it, and I'm like, oh my days, you go, oh no, they're screaming. But then it subsides. If you've hurt yourself, if you've ever broken, I've broken both of my wrists at one point. I've had my nose broken, my jaw broken. I've broken many big bones in my foolish youth. And at that moment, there's an intense pain. And then the pain kind of subsides and you're living with the pain and then it goes down. In hell, there'll be none of that. The pain will just continue to get worse. When you think you've reached the peak, it's like, okay, it will just get worse. For all eternity. For all eternity. In hell, there's not going to be any respite. There's not going to be any day it stops. There's not going to be any parole. There's not going to be anybody that steps in. And hell, it's just forever. It won't matter whether you've been in there a day or a million, billion, trillion years. You will only know you have no hope of coming out. Your only existence is that when in eternity, any beings look at you, they'll say, wow, there must have been a holy God that you offended. That's all your existence will be. Then that's it. You'll suffer so bad that really and truly you think, why? Who deserves that? Is because it makes you realize how holy God is, that wow. Because who you offend always determines the sentence. Let me reveal that. If you kill an ant, no one does anything to you. You killed an ant. If you kill a dog, maybe they'll do something to you. You kill a man, they do more to you. See, it's not just the offense, it's who you do it to. Well, I'm only lying. But a holy God told us not to lie. That's how holy he is. Oh, I'm only fornicating. A holy God. See, we look at heaven and hell and punishment. It doesn't make any sense because you don't understand. And I don't probably fully comprehend how holy God is. What is the worst that can happen to me? The worst thing that can happen to you is that you die without Jesus and you spend eternity in hell. But I want to tell you this. This is the one thing you have control over. You may not be able to control all of your destiny, your career, your education, your marriage, but you can control where you spend eternity by simply accepting Jesus. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See, we need to come face to face many times with our fears to see a way out. See, worry is like pressing the accelerator, but the car's not in gear. And those of you that drive, you understand that. Maybe if you don't drive, you ask someone afterwards. But you could have a car and it's not in gear, and then you'll just press the accelerator, and you could just put your foot on the accelerator, and you'd probably damage the engine. But you'd actually use fuel. You'd actually use all. You could, if you stayed there long enough, you'd use all your fuel up. But you've gone nowhere, because for you to move, you have to put that car into gear. Worry is like having your foot on the accelerator, but it's not in gear. When you face your fears, many times, this is when you're going to engage your mind. This is when you can stop worrying. This is when you can say, okay, let me see what I can do. See, the Bible says about these four lepers, 2 Kings 7 verse 4. It says, now therefore, they said, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians, that they will keep us alive. We shall, if they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. The Bible says this. When these guys came to a place where they said, you know what? What's the worst that can happen to us? Straight away, an idea came to them. Many times people are suffering and they're worried. They're just there. They're worrying, worrying, worrying. The problem is you'll never figure a way out when you're just worrying. It wasn't until they said, okay, what's the worst that can happen to us? Well, we could die, but we're going to die here anyway. So, okay, well, what could we do? Well, we could go. A plan started to be formed in their mind. Do you know there are things that, there are plans and strategies that you could actually be thinking of that could open doors to you if you would stop worrying? That if you would start to calculate, rather than just running around in circles, oh, what would happen, what would happen, what would happen, and why is this so hard? If you would stop worrying and say, what's the worst? Let me look at this, and plans start to come out. Because now you're engaging your mind. You're taking it out of worry, and you're putting it into plan mode. Yes. This is how people change their life. There was a guy, many years ago, again, it's another story in America. There's a guy and his dad had given him a company. And in this company, what they do is they basically have oil. They deliver oil to people, like petrol type of oil. And this is what they do. And what happened was, is that a government agent comes to this guy and he says, we found out that some of your drivers have been keeping back some of the oil. And they've been behaving, you know, inappropriately. And so they said, if you pay us some money, we will forgive you. Pay us some money, we won't say anything to anybody, we won't do anything. And so what he did is he's being blackmailed. And here is this guy, he says he's being blackmailed. And he said he couldn't believe it. He says, only in the movies that I hear that people are being blackmailed. And so he's thinking, what will happen to me if this comes out, blah, 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 blah. And so he's going around and around in his mind. He said he's getting worried. And at one point, he just said, you know, what's the worst? The worst thing that will happen is the scandal comes out. My guys were behaving fraudulent. I didn't know. And so maybe it will affect our business. He says, the worst thing, maybe people stop using us. Maybe I lose my contract. Maybe my father's company that I gave me, maybe I lose it. Maybe I lose the company and I just have to go back and find a job. Many people find jobs. And he's set in his mind, what is the worst? And he says, no, I'm not paying the blackmail fee. I'm not going to do that. And so he goes to his lawyer and he says, what do I do? And the lawyer said, listen, you need to go to the DA. You need to explain to them what's going on. And so he goes down to the DA and the DA says, listen, those people are not government agents. They're fraudsters. They've been going around doing this to everybody, trying to blackmail people. And his eyes were open and he says, imagine how I was worrying over nothing. See, many times, it's not until you're actually willing to say, you know what, what's the worst that can happen? You know, the reality is, church, most of us, the worst is not death. Let's be honest. Most of our problems, since I've been the pastor here, I can only a few times think that I've ever had to deal with issues of death in people's life. Most of you here that are sitting here, your worry is not a life or death thing. If we said, what is the worst that can happen to you? We're not talking about death. Some of you here, what's the worst? I lose my job. Okay, that's the worst. You can get a new job. People get jobs all the time. If that's the worst, you've got to process that. Well, if this is the worst, then I lose my job. The worst, I might lose my house. Can I say people get houses all the time? There are people that, you know what, especially in this country, you know what, people, you'll get a house. One way or another, God can work it out for you. What is the worst? The worst is I never get married. I mean, that's the worst, but the worst. Pastor don't even say those words. There are many people that have lived a successful, fruitful, happy, single life. Being single is not a something, it's not like the same as being a leper. You know, people say, oh, they're single. No. We're going to have marriage fellowships. Only we hang with married people. Please. What if my spouse leaves me? It's very sad. But there are many people whose spouses have left them. And they've gone on to live fruitful lives. Either single or remarried. What is the worst? See, what if I fail this course? Well, you know what? Maybe you're going to have to go back and redo it. Oh no, number 3 years. Yeah, that's it. You've got to get in your mind, what is the worst? And then you've got to say, well, you know what? I'm just going to have to deal with it and go through it. And many times that's where things come alive. That's when you start to realize, I can make it. See, fear is the expectation of bad things. That's what fear is, the expectation of bad things. You do not fear what has already happened to you. How many know that? If you're doing something and your finger got cut off, how many know you don't fear it afterwards? You fear what can happen to you, not what has happened to you. It's the expectations of things that are going to go wrong. See, when you're willing to say, you know what's the worst? You got to go for it. You say, you know what, let's work it out. There are many men that, you know why they won't do the will of God? You know why they won't preach and start a church or pioneer? What if it doesn't work? What if no one gets saved? Okay, we've tried it. Come back. Come back. Come back. Listen. You went there, you tried it. Praise God. Come back. Chill out for a little bit, man. Starting a ministry. There are people here. God is putting things on your heart to start something, to do something. What if it doesn't work? There's guys here. Listen, you're single. There's a good sisters in this church. What if she says no? Then, I don't know, you regroup and then there's another sister. Or you go back, I don't know, buy a suit, get a haircut, brush your teeth, some deodorant, aftershave, and go back again. Hey, you know, hey, sister, this is new improved, man. You know, you have iPhone 5, this is iPhone 6S. You didn't want the 5, this is the 6. What I'm saying is that when you're always worried, you never do anything. What is the worst? Listen, God can get you through the worst. Whatever the worst thing is, listen, no matter how big it is that you're worried about, God is bigger. No matter how big your circumstance, your problem is, God is bigger. Let me close this off. I want to say is that this, when you face your fears, you will see a move of God. Let us go back to these four leprous guys. They're there, they're going to starve, and they're there, and they're like, if we stay here, we're going to starve to death. If we go back into our own city, we're going to starve to death. We're surrounded by Syria. Let's just go to these guys and just say, look, we surrender, wave a white flag, maybe they keep us as prisoners, but at least they feed us. And so they come up with this plan. And so they start to walk into the Syrian camp. They're starting to walk like this. They're just walking, these four lepers. Lepers are like, you know, these people are sick. These things are falling off them. These are not the top people. These are not strong people. They've got no horses. They've got no swords. They've got no bows and arrows. But as they started to move, the Bible says this in verse 6, chapter 7. For the Lord had caused the army of Syria to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has arisen against us. The king has arisen against us, the king of the Hittites and the king of Egypt to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. As these lepers start to walk into the camp, the Bible says God took that noise and he started to amplify it. As they're moving, he starts to amplify that. And the Syrians, as they're there, all they can hear is horses. All they can hear is armies. All they can hear is this mighty force coming towards them. They start looking at one another, fretting. They're saying, my days, this is Israel. This is the Hittites. It must be Egypt. They're coming against us. And everybody just flees. Just these four lepers, man. They get into the camp. They're like, my days. Like I said, food, clothes, Audis, BMs. Houses, everything is there for them. Imagine if they just stayed where they were. They would have just died. No one would have cared for four lepers. They would have just been dead at the gate of the city. People would have come. But they said, what's the worst? Let's go for it. And the Bible says, when they started to move, God started to move. See, God is showing us here is that, listen, you don't need to be super special. A leper is nothing special. You don't even need to be super clean. A leper is a nasty thing. You know what the leprosy in the Bible stands for? Is like sin. These guys are not even holy, holy. It wasn't even that they were so holy that God came down. The Bible just said, you know what? They just said, let's just move. Let's just move. Let's just keep doing. When you face your fears and you ask, what is the worst? It leads you to action. And God gets involved when you start moving. See, many of us, we miss the jackpot because we stay worrying. We never see a move of God. We never see the jackpot. We never hit it big because we never move because we're just here. What if this? What if that? What if this? What's the worst? Okay, I'm going to go for it. God is moving on your heart. Preach. My wife was telling me the other day when she was traveling on the bus yesterday, there was a gentleman, he got up on the bus, not from our church, he started to preach on the bus. And as he's preaching on the bus, these two men get on the bus together of suspect character. Two men, suspect character. And my wife said, the guy was just preaching the gospel, and these two men of suspect character just started to hate the guy. Hate the guy. What's the worst they can do? I got to preach. People may laugh at you, mock at you. God's telling you, go witness to the people in your college. Go witness to the people in your workplace. Go witness. Go speak about Jesus. What's the what? They might not like me. So what? They probably don't like you anyway. It's just they're pretending. How can you like me if you don't know me? You don't know I'm a Christian. You don't know I go to church. You don't know Jesus is number one in my life. Then you don't know me to like me. What you like is the fantasy of your own imagination. See, the problem is this: worry kills hope and faith. And a life without faith misses the plan of God. Worry kills hope and faith. You're coming to church, we preach the word of God to you, we're preaching hope. How many know when you come to church, you should feel more hope than when you leave, you should feel more hopeful than when you came in. But the problem is your worry is killing the hope that you receive when you read the Bible, when you come to church. The worry is killing that. And there's no faith. A life without faith will never reach the plan of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But that faith is impossible to please God. Your worry is killing your faith. Your worry is killing your faith. See, the Bible says that these guys start walking. I mean, we need to start walking for Jesus. Yeah. And as they started walking, a sound goes before them. Their enemy is there waiting for them, but they're just walking. But what goes before them is a sound. The Bible says, a sound. God amplifies what's happening. And it's a sound that goes before them and it reaches their enemy before they do. Can I say to you today is that God has sent a sound before you that reaches your enemies before you do. You remember when Jesus was asked to go and because Lazarus was sick? How many remember that? Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. When they come to, they say, hey, go and tell Jesus he that he loves is sick to, unto death. Jesus says, nah, that sick is not unto death. And then Jesus says, he's only sleeping. Remember that? Jesus said, he's only sleeping. But actually, he was dead. But it's almost like Jesus' word goes before him. Because actually, it was like he was sleeping, because when Jesus came, he woke him. See, there are things that are going on in your life, enemies, things that are ahead of you. Jesus is already gone. Can I say to you today, God's promises have gone ahead of you. God's promises, the sound of his promises. The Bible speaks about God's word. A word. The Bible speaks about God spoke. God has spoken promises over your life, over our lives as Christians. Those promises, those sounds have gone before you. You're worried about your future. Can I say, just walk. Ahead, down the road, next month, next year, next 10 years, God's promises are already there. That sound has already gone ahead of you. You just got to keep walking. Some of you have stopped walking. You're worrying. You're not walking ahead. If you stay where you are, you're going to die. The promises are not here. The promises are there. You've got to walk into those things. Remember what God says to the children of Israel? He says, this is the land I have given to you. Now go up and take it. Now think about it. If you give me something, why have I got to go and get it? But this is how God works. God is saying, I give you things. I've promised you things. But you've got to go and get them. See, when you make a word, when you speak a word, it makes a sound. And we understand ultimately, in the book of John, Jesus is described as the Word. See, Jesus is the Word. And Jesus is the one that has gone before me and you. Jesus has really defeated our ultimate enemy, death. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. If you're here, you're a Christian today, you're born again. Can I say to you today, you don't need to fear death. Think about it. The thing that everyone else is scared of. Death, there it is coming. And the thing about it now, I think the world is scared of it, and it's coming closer and closer to them every day. But the Christian doesn't have to be like that. Christian knows, listen, the sound of God, the word of God, Jesus Christ has already gone before me and defeated that. And just like these guys who stepped into what looked like an enemy's camp was a place of blessing. Can I say to every Christian in this place, the thing that the world is scared of, death, natural death, physical death, when we enter into that, listen, that's when we've entered into our camp. That's when we've entered into our camp. What is the worst? Face your fears today. Stop worrying. And trust in Jesus. He will bring you through. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.